This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Second hour is underway just after 11. Should let you know, Ryan Kerrigan is headed to the Pro Bowl in Orlando. Not before he plays in a couple more games and not before he stops by this here radio program. 11:45 today, we will talk to Kerrigan a day after he found out he was headed to Orlando for his third Pro Bowl, second in as many seasons. Should be four Pro Bowls for Ryan Kerrigan, by the way. There was a year where he got snubbed.
There was a snubbing?
There was a snubbing.
When was the snubbing?
Snubbing was going back, I think, three seasons ago, something like that, where he had one of the best seasons among
pass rushers in the NFC. He had a good year and didn't get it?
Yeah.
Weird.
But last couple years, justice has been done, and he's a multi-timer now, and he's going to his third. My guess is he'll play in it because he says yes all the time and doesn't seem to miss any time on the field. We'll ask him about that when he joins us at 11:45. We were just going through all the teams ESPN.com highlighted as possible destinations for Kirk Cousins and where we rank the Redskins among them. Tom is in Rockville, has some thoughts on the exercise. What's up, Tom?
What's up, Tom? Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it,
you
buddy.
Bet.
And Danny, since it's your last show of 2017, I'd like to go ahead and wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy Birthday New Year.
Happy Birthday New Year. Same to you, pal. Appreciate it.
Wow, that's a great callback.
Awesome.
What was that? Was that your last show of last year?
Yeah, and I was trying to say happy birth of a new year and then happy new year, and I combined the two into the weirdest phrase ever, and it lives in infamy. I forgot about that. Oh, no, you didn't forget. Dalmy plays it once a week. Blue Shorts out there.
I haven't heard about it in months.
Yeah, Blue Shorts plays it every other day. Danny, happy birthday, new year.
What?
Everybody.
What?
Happy birth. I was trying to say happy birth of a new year. Happy birthday, new year. I don't know. That's
Tom,
probably going
how
to
did
bed
you remember that?
Chad, first of all, is up next.
I've just been listening to the show for a while. You know, big fan of you guys. So
I appreciate it.
Great, pull it out.
Good for you.
Happy
man.
Birthday, New Year! What an idiot! What an idiot!
So dumb.
Just talk for a job.
Anyway,
stupid.
What's
I'm sorry,
up, Tom.
Yeah. Going back to Kirk, I think that in terms of top three landing spots, they'd have Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, and Denver in that conversation. I think that at this point, you know, he has the money. He has the legitimacy of being a starting quarterback in the NFL. All he wants is a Super Bowl ring. At this point, I think all three of those teams give him an opportunity to make a deep run in the playoffs. And in terms of whether or not I think he stays or leaves, I think he leaves. And I'll even go further than that and say if he goes to a team like Pittsburgh, given the production he's had this season, with the type of talent around him, I think if he goes to a team where he's not the primary playmaker and he has special talent around him, I'd go as far as say he can be an MVP candidate next year.
Wow. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
I really think that perfect scenario situation is in the cards. What I mean is, what I think, and you may disagree, but if you just go to some team where you just say, I want to change the scenery, just a standard issue team, forget about the specifics here for a second, where you've got average talent, I don't think he's the kind of superstar that makes that average talent into a 14-win offensive juggernaut that you can't stop, right? But if you go to a team where there are great skill position players, I bet you he'd thrive the same way that a lot of guys would do that. I think those pick you up by the bootstraps and put you to 12 wins every year, Aaron Rodgers-type players, they have a Hall of Fame for a reason. It's not that big. Not that many guys get to go to that thing.
Right.
You don't just play quarterback for 10 years and congratulations, you graduate to the Hall of Fame. It's a pretty select group that could take a group of Jags and turn them into household names, right? Brady has done it forever. Well, that's now you're in the top five greatest quarterbacks of all time. Aaron Rodgers has done it forever. Top five greatest quarterbacks of all time. There's a theme here. They don't make that many of those dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So him going to a good situation, I guarantee you he could thrive. But is he good enough to go anywhere and do his normal 4,500-yard, 27-touchdown, 10, 11, 12, 13 interception thing? Yeah, he's proven that at this point. But if I'm him, I look for that sweet spot. I look for that place where I got a good offensive mind and some talent and then watch this.
Because why do I need to put up more numbers? I don't need to throw for 4,500, 4,600 yards.
I can do that.
I don't need to throw for 35 touchdowns. I need to go somewhere where I can be Case Keenum. That should be the dream if you're Kirk Cousins. Make a lot of money. Being a guy who's just kind of managing a good team and winning games. Because that's the one thing that cannot be argued in the end, because there are so many people that just define quarterback play in such simple, ridiculous terms. You could be the best statistical quarterback ever. You could be one of the greats of all time, Dan Marino. And if you don't have success, you're still going to get knocked. The only way to avoid that is to go somewhere where you can actually win, even if it means you do less or you have less on your plate. It's like when you get a promotion and you work less hard, but you make more money. And that happens in the world all the time. People just keep climbing the ladder. They do less. They make more. And they've got more say. And quarterbacking is kind of the same way. It's like, I'll go somewhere else where I have to do less because everyone around me is better. That's fine. I'll make a lot of money to just be considered great because my teams win all the time. Give me your top three. I go one, Pittsburgh. Obviously, the caveat there is that Ben's got to retire. I think the Steelers would absolutely be thrilled to have Kirk Cousins. And for him to be throwing to Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant and to be handing the ball off and checking it down to Le'Veon Bell, I think would be a dream come true. Oh, by the way, they have three Pro Bowl offensive linemen and a good defense. And they've done it while paying a quarterback an astronomical amount of money. So they know how to scout and develop and groom talent so that you can still pay a lot of money to the passer and be smart enough as an organization to win.
Are these realistic scenarios?
Yeah,
or all the ones that they listed?
Scenarios.
So in other words, not that I would, but I can't say Tampa Bay because we're both like, that's not going to happen. Okay.
No, these are the actual teams where you would say, yeah, that wouldn't shock me if he ended up there.
Okay, so I'm taking Minnesota off the board then, because
I agree.
One of those two guys is going to be back.
I'm going Steelers 1. I'm going Jaguars 2. Jacksonville, because of the young talent at wide receiver. I love D.D. Westbrook out of Oklahoma. Liked him in college last year. I think he was a Heisman finalist. If not for baggage, that guy's probably a mid or early second round pick. He had a better final season at Oklahoma than Sterling Shepard did, if you go back and look. You add him to Keelan Cole, who's made some plays as like distant players down the depth chart when they get Allen Robinson back, Allen Hurns back healthy. The breakout of, is it Marquise Lee from USC, who's become terrific for them? They have nothing but weapons.
Yeah.
They have good wideouts, and they just drafted Leonard Fournette in the first round, who's going to be a Pro Bowler three of the next 4 years probably. They've invested in their offensive line. They've got the best defense in football. I don't love their coaching staff. I don't necessarily love the organizational culture over the years. They've been bad for a while, but that is a great landing spot. And then three for me is Denver, because I do like their culture and organization.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty sound. I think they've got a good defense. And even though they got a couple 30-year-old receivers, as we talked about earlier, the tandem of Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders is going to be good for the next couple years. And that's just an organization that I don't think doesn't stay bad long. You have Kirk Cousins in a defense that's won a Super Bowl recently, by the way. To me, your floor is probably 8 wins, and there's a better chance you're winning 10 or 11.
Pittsburgh's won. I think we can all agree there. They're ready-made Super Bowl contender right now. They would be next year. Same difference. I flip Denver and Jacksonville, though. And your case for Jacksonville is a good one. It's why they're my number three. But Denver, I look at, I think that division is ripe for the taking. Not that the AFC South is any good, but I think you'll win the AFC West. I think all these guys are not on the come. They've arrived. I think Demaryius Thomas, star. Emmanuel Sanders, star. I think that defense is playoff ready, tested, ready to go offensively. I think they just need one signal caller to do it. Jacksonville, they're still in prove-it mode to me. They've had an unbelievable season. That defense is so, so, so good. This Denver group is not that far removed from the group that was competing for Super Bowls already. And I think these guys at the end of their tail end of their prime still have a couple runs left in them. And those next couple years for Kirk Cousins, I think you could be hoisting a trophy.
Well, you could be, definitely. Their defense is getting older, but, man, they still got good players.
Yeah.
Chris Harris at corner, Aqib Talib, who isn't, you know, long in the tooth or anything at this point, I wouldn't think. I mean, they've recycled their defensive line. They just locked up Wolf, even though they lost Jackson. You'll see it this weekend. They're ranked number two in the NFL on defense for a reason. Reggie in D.C., what's up?
Hey, fellas, how you doing, man? Great topic.
Thanks, man.
Listen, a team that nobody's talking about, I'm going to bring up New England. Because the same thing with Pittsburgh, it's coming to an end, too, with their quarterback. And my top three would be New England, Pittsburgh, and Jacksonville, too. But New England is something you should keep your eye on.
Well, how do you figure, right, though, that it's coming to an end with Brady, who's under contract and has maybe the MVP credentials of the season? I know that he's 40, but it looks like he's got four seasons left in him. He's talked about wanting to play till he's 45.
I really don't see that's going to happen. But, I mean, if he does, hey, he's blessed. But that'd be a perfect situation for him to set behind and wait for him to retire. Because to step into what New England is doing, I wouldn't close my eye on that.
Appreciate you. Two things. One, New England's not going to pay what it would take to bring him in if he's not going to start. Number two, Cousins wouldn't want to go somewhere to sit right now in the prime of his career, even if it's behind Tom Brady. Thanks for the phone call. I don't buy New England as an option, but if Brady was stepping away this year, a la Roethlisberger potentially, yeah, obviously you'd bump them way up the list in any category because that's the best culture, the best organization. It's where you're going to go and probably win right away. And now all of a sudden they don't have a kid being groomed. They traded Jacoby Brissett. They traded Jimmy Garoppolo. This is the first time they haven't had their quarterback in waiting. I think they brought Brian Hoyer back, didn't they?
He did.
I'm pretty sure
that's
the backup.
Like, he was just out and about, and they were like, hey, Brian, you busy?
Now, he'd probably go 10-6 in a full season starting for the Patriots because whoever quarterbacks them wins.
Checking it down to a bunch of running backs.
With Matt Castle. But, yeah, they would love Kirk Cousins if Tom Brady wasn't around. He's not going to not be around for a while. Tom Brady's not going anywhere. You know what movie I saw last night?
I don't.
The Disaster Artist.
What is that?
Oh, you've seen the trailers for this. This is James Franco, Dave Franco, Seth Rogen. Do you know this story?
I have no idea what this is.
Really?
None.
So the story is actually true. It's about this like mysterious millionaire who back in the late 90s met this kid who's played by Dave Franco, and James Franco plays the main character, out in Los Angeles. And basically, this guy wanted to become an actor. Dave Franco plays this dude named Greg.
Okay.
He meets this buddy in an acting class at school in Los Angeles, who's played by his brother James Franco, named Tommy. True story. And this guy Tommy is like this mystery dude who's got a weird accent, really strange guy. No one knows where he's from. He says he's from New Orleans. And he's just rich. And so he tells Dave Franco, he goes, hey, why don't we move out to L.A. and become actors together? They both have this dream of becoming actors.
Okay.
So they move out to L.A. They live in an apartment together. They can't get any gigs in Los Angeles. And eventually, they come up with this idea where they're just going to make their own movie. And they actually did make their own movie called The Room.
That's what Tommy just said in my ear. It's about the guys that made The Room, which I don't know that either.
Yeah, so The Room is a real-life movie that was made in the early 2000s by this mystery millionaire. So he spent over $6 million to make this movie.
Of his own money.
Of his own money. Mm. He makes the movie with actual Hollywood producers, you know, writers, people going over his script, everything. Hires a couple of people just to come in and read parts, whatever.
Right.
They have a huge screening for the movie, and people think it's a comedy because the guy's so weird and the movie's so terrible that everyone just laughs their way through it like some YouTube sensation.
Uh-huh.
So they, to this day, will still have screenings sold out around the country, and this guy's become like a cult hero among comedians in Los Angeles and like funny actors.
But
and
is
stuff.
It like the end of Forgetting Sarah Marshall where David or whatever the character's name is, Peter Brenner, I didn't know it was a comedy at first.
Exactly.
But everyone's laughing. Is
so
like
he
that?
Makes a movie thinking this is like his life and it's this dramatic, I'm a great actor and I'm going to win an Academy Award. He actually paid millions of dollars to keep this movie in a theater for multiple weeks so it could qualify just in case anyone wanted to give it an Academy Award. And it turned out people just laugh so hard because the movie's so terrible at how awful he is as an actor, how awful the movie is, how it doesn't really have a plot, nothing goes together. What I didn't realize is how true of a story this is. At the end of the credits in the movie I saw last night, they show the scenes from like this movie and the scenes from the actual movie, and they're identical. Like, they do an incredible job because you're like, this is the dumbest thing ever. No, in a million years, that's not actually how the acting was. It wasn't that bad. But it was literally, everything was that bad. And it's iconic, this cult movie where I've never heard of it until a couple weeks ago watching this trailer and doing research. But like a bunch of L.A. lifers go and see this thing and have screenings and have parties at their house to have people
over
and watch
it. I imagine they think they're so cool doing
that. I'm sure they do.
Oh, it's also not just L.A. people. It's like a huge
cult classic.
That's what I'm saying.
But it started in Los Angeles, right. And now it's like everywhere, all over the world, basically, but certainly in America. They screen this at midnight at different theaters. Like, you could be driving through Shirlington and it could say, we're showing The Room tonight.
They show it at AFI Silver Spring all the time.
And everybody's all steamed.
And everyone shows up and watches this movie and laughs at it because it's the dumbest movie.
But
this
guy incredible.
Has now made, have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
You've seen The Room?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Oh, that's
also on Netflix.
Yeah, I definitely never watched it. I'd never heard of it. But the actual, it's a confusing thing because I'm talking about two movies.
Yeah.
The movie last night about the movie.
The Disaster Artist.
Yes, The Disaster Artist with James and Dave Franco and Seth Rogen and Alison Brie was actually really funny. I kind of liked it.
I believe
it. It was weird. Super weird.
Alison Brie, tremendous actress.
She is a good actress.
She is excellent.
I like that that is your big takeaway.
That's my big takeaway. Yeah.
You should check it out.
The whole thing is confusing to me.
And Danny, 106.7. Man. Welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. Grant Paulson, Danny Ruye. We're on Twitter. I'm at Grant H. Paulson.
And I am at Funny Danny.
Last five Instagrams. You want in?
Let's go. Get mine up here.
Last five Instagrams. I've got a picture from last night while watching Home Alone of the scary neighbor who they think buried people in like buckets of salt or something.
What was
like
he? Was the shovel killer? Is that what Buzz gave him the name? Is that what it was?
It was definitely something like that. I don't think it was a shovel killer, but it was something like that. I said Midnight Mass buddies. Him and Kevin are sitting in the church talking. I've got a picture somebody took from like way up in section 400 of me on the sideline at FedEx Field.
There you go.
I've got three photos of me at ice at National Harbor. One of me, I should say, and then a couple of just the scenes at National Harbor. Pretty cool deal you should take Bill to next year. They basically have this huge tent where they have nothing but scenes from very popular kid Disney movies.
Oh, he'd love that.
Or like holiday movies, I should
say. Yeah,
and you walk through. So this year the theme was Rudolph. So it was all the scenes from Rudolph. But it's all ice sculptures. I can't imagine who carves these and how they do this. It's amazing.
That, by the way, is a medium that's staggering to me.
Just
no idea.
Unfathomably impressive. That is real skill, unlike anything that I can't possess and wouldn't possess.
There's a big block of ice. I'm going to make it into something. Okay, sure.
And it, you know, and then like have the color perfect and paint it just so.
Yeah, use this chainsaw for touch-ups, I'm sure.
So cool. But anyway, they keep the room 9 degrees. So you get all bundled up, then you put another big coat on, then you're in there and your knees are barking. It's a crazy thing. I went down a slide. It was like me and a bunch of kids. It was a whole weird day, but I enjoyed myself. So those are my last five on Instagram. What do you got?
Last five pictures on Instagram. It's Instagram.com/humorousdanny is where you can find me. Picture in my son's scooter helmet at home. I'll show you that.
Oh, that's a good
one. That's his scooter helmet. Then
why are you wearing his scooter helmet?
Not sure.
Okay.
We're horsing around.
Just playing around.
Yeah, he already gave me this this mark on top of my my left temple.
Yeah, you are another bloody mark on your face.
So what happens? You got a 4-year-old. You wrestle around. I have a scar. It's not a scar. Whatever you would call it, a scab. I don't know, whatever it is on my left Garrett temple. Then the next picture is me covering my face watching the Redskins lose to the Chargers.
Can I see that one?
Next picture, screen cap of Colonel Nathan R. Jessup on the stand.
Can I see, though, you covering your face watching the Chargers?
Me covering my face, watching the Chargers. Colonel Nathan R. Jessup, again, on the stand from A Few Good Men.
Can he handle the truth? He probably could.
He could.
Yeah.
He could. His accusation is that you probably couldn't. Yeah. Then there's this weird thing. We've got this nice back, cool kind of courtyard area where we go play sometimes. I don't understand what this is. It's hard to explain. You got to go see it if you care. If you don't, disregard what I'm about to say. It's this like weird half sculpture of like tree branches and twigs kind of tied up. It looks very Blair Witchy.
It's very weird.
Which is why I took a picture of it. And I go, it's like one half Blair Witch, one half Groot, one half like something else. It's
definitely Groot.
It's very strange looking is what I would say.
It looks like the thing from True Detective.
Yes. That's probably what it is. It looks like that combined with, again, as I said, Blair
Witch. Life is a flat circle, man.
Time is a flash. All right. Last one is this totally happened. I was commuting. I was on my way home and I was driving on a road and everyone stopped and I couldn't see around the giant SUV in front of me. And I realized why everyone had stopped. A deer was walking across the crosswalk. Not kidding. It used the crosswalk, which
That's
was
funny.
Amazing. It crossed over. And so I
Which way was the road going then? Was it going the way you needed it to or the other way?
No, the correct way for commuters. So anyway, everyone stopped correctly because a deer was crossing. And I stopped and was able, because no traffic hadn't started moving yet, I took a video of the deer just walking on the side of the road like it was a pedestrian. This is like Rob Deer, this guy, Steve the Deer, just walking along like he was normal, one of us.
John Sullivan on Twitter says he believes Buzz referred to the neighbor as the South Bend Shovel Slayer.
That sound right?
It doesn't sound right to me, but I'll take his word for it.
John gets it.
He knows what's going on.
The shovel was intimately involved in the alleged killings.
Yesterday was a day that you don't like.
Aye.
We want to ask you about overrated days, sport or otherwise, just days that get overrated by the masses.
This yesterday was national, I guess, Dar informed us, five-star Dar, told us this was early signing day. So there's still national signing
Everybody
day to
talk
come.
About how great your college program is going to be in 3 years day.
So these like various outlets, and again, 24/7 sports rears its head. They've got these ratings listed when they start going top 20 classes, right? Ohio State had the number one class. I saw Texas had the number two class. Everybody claims victory on this day. Everyone loves these signing days, and it's this you know what measuring contest among people that are obsessed over it and care. No one's going to remember when Maryland goes 6-6 next year after their first seven quarterbacks get hurt and the middle linebacker is handing it off and they get blown up in the Big Ten. No one's going to remember that Maryland had this top 20 recruiting class. Now, it's great that after a 6-6 and a 4-8 couple of seasons, they're able to get people, especially locally, that want to commit and go play at Maryland. Good for them. Good for DJ Durkin. Good for the program. I hope they do well. This day, I understand the hype. I roll city for me. When every fan base, every message board, every group of alumni, everybody that cares about college, they're all saying the exact same thing. And the rubber meeting the road for these 17, 18, 19-year-old kids that may or may not turn out to be pretty good college football players, it's so stupid to me. It's one of these hype things that everyone loves so much because they want college football and they want success and they want to believe. This is not the draft. This is not great sample size against great competition. Nobody knows if a 3-star is better than a 4-star is better than a 5-star. It's this wild, wild west, untrustworthy nonsense. And this Texas team that got the number two recruiting class, I'm sure that means they'll be the number two team
also
in the country in 2 years.
The idea that you're a bad team in a conference, like, I don't want to use Maryland as the example because I feel like they're off in our punching bag. But like, you have three straight top 20 recruiting classes, and I now expect you to be better than Ohio State in the Big Ten? No. That's not going to happen. Have all the recruiting classes you want, and don't allow Ohio State to recruit for a couple straight years. Bet you they'll still beat you on a Saturday.
Yeah, so, well, everybody's, and again, you're right. I don't want to pick on Maryland. I feel badly doing that, but it's just kind of the example I'd offer, is Maryland did well, again, by all accounts, but then again, the couple guys that they desperately wanted, Penn State, walked right down and took their pick of the litter. Took the 5-star, took the 4-star, and you walked away. So Maryland got a pretty good turnout again. A few DeMatha kids, a good Council kid, then a couple guys from Points Beyond. They recruited Virginia Beach well, which is a big deal for them because that's the sort of stomping grounds of the Virginia Tech.
There was a time where Virginia Tech just owned Virginia Beach.
And they still probably do overall, but still, it's nice for Maryland. So again, I'm not trying to beat up Maryland and have Maryland alums like my pops angry at me. The point I'm making is it's one of the most overwrought, overhyped, nonsensical days that everybody loves to trumpet their achievements, and the results are not tangible.
Yeah,
that's where I'm going.
It's definitely an annoying day. I'm with you on that. It's a lot of over-talking about how good you're going to be in a couple years, and then we just forget that this conversation's been happening for a lot of years.
20th-ranked recruiting class, according to 24/7.
It hasn't happened. I've got a day that I find annoying and overrated as well. I'll give you next. If you guys have one, though, call us, 800-636-1067. In honor of Danny hating recruiting day in college football, what is the day, could be sports, could be otherwise, that you just think people over talk about that they shouldn't? I got a take that I think you're going to consider warm in temperature that I'll give you next. Ryan Kerrigan's on the show in 15 minutes to talk Pro Bowl. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We've got an announcement we will make on the show tomorrow morning. Looking forward to breaking some news for you guys
tomorrow morning
about something we're doing that you'll have an opportunity to participate in. That could be a really cool idea for maybe a little holiday gift for somebody.
Oh, yeah.
So make sure you're listening tomorrow to Grant and Danny. Ryan Kerrigan is on the show at 11:45. The Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines are open, 800-636-1067. Days that you find too much to deal with, that you roll your eyes at, that are overrated, Danny came up with this based on a day yesterday that annoyed him.
This is the national early signing day. So there's a national signing day still to come in the regular signing period. Dozens of schools claiming victory. Dozens of alumni, hundreds of alums, and people that care and are invested in those various schools walking around with their chests puffed out about guys they've literally never seen play. They saw a YouTube highlight video of some three-star guy from Good Counsel, and now they're telling you, championship, very little is going to change. The schools that are elite will remain elite. Bet you Alabama's still pretty good. I bet you Ohio State's still pretty good. Bet you Michigan's still pretty good in the Big Ten. I think the day is so nonsensical.
Tom on Twitter has an idea. He says, New Year's Eve is the most overrated day.
Could not agree more.
I like having off January 1st, but the festivities and all accoutrement are silly in my opinion. I do find New Year's Eve to be overrated. My perfect New Year's Eve would be I would leave my house, I sound 90 when I say this. I would go to a party where there was like a dinner from maybe 6 to 8:30 and be back at my house by 9 and just watch whatever performances there are on TV, watch the ball drop, and then fall asleep at 12:02. I think New Year's Eve's a little bit overrated. I agree with that.
It's prom for grownups. It's always overpriced, always logistically a hassle.
If you're paying a lot of money to go to some party or to go to a club or a bar and paying and then standing in line for drinks, you deserve to have a miserable night.
I don't say never. My shooting percentage on New Year's was like Nick Young long twos. I mean, I probably had a couple fun ones in there somewhere.
Did you ever pay like? Oh, come to the biggest bash
all
of the year
time.
For $200.
Yes.
You've done that?
Did all that crap in my 20s.
I've never done that.
Did all that crap in my 20s.
Dar, have you ever done it?
I did it once. It was actually a lot of fun.
Where was it?
It was a big night out, I think, at National Harbor at the Gaylord. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, guy. I don't think. I just think I would hate it. Could you get drinks whenever you wanted to?
Oh, yeah. There were 18 rooms you could go into, and there was one room that was full. So it was literally just
but
walking
what did you
up.
Do the whole time?
I drank a lot.
Okay,
just
you
listen to Chris Stiles, DJ.
House.
Yeah. But now I could do this.
How many
this.
People were there that you knew? Like buddies?
I mean, there were probably a group of 30 or 40 of us.
Okay. I feel like you could have done a house party with those people, but
probably.
It sounds like you had fun. How much did you pay for it?
I think.
Tell me the truth, Dar.
I think all inclusive plus the hotel room split between four people, I think it was like $200 a person.
A lot. After Tommy, you ever done that?
Yeah, after I got burned enough times, I quit doing that.
Well, it was one time.
I know. I'm saying I had terrible times.
If it was so
those.
Much fun, why haven't you done it since?
Because it's expensive and it was a one time thing, and now I'm old.
No, I don't do anything like that. I usually just find a bar that's doing some sort of special that night that is either in walking distance of the Thumb Pound or a short Uber ride away. So as opposed to $200 a person. Splitting it with four different people, $800 on the night, like big time Dar over here does.
Top shelf Dar.
Top shelf Dar.
I'll usually spend about $13 total in Uber.
It's pretty good.
Uber.
Is there a baby in the back? Or no?
I've never had one, but we might this year.
For festive.
So here's the one. This is my take that's going to be warm. Here is my prediction.
Let's get the warm takeometer ready.
This is no fun Paulson in a big way, just so we're all on the same page. He doesn't get seen very often, but he does exist. You are going to, I think, agree with me.
Okay.
Because you're no fun, Rouye. Mm-hmm. Dar is going to hate me. And Thommy's going to pretend to hate me.
Predicting which way Thommy's going to go is always hard.
It's hard.
You shouldn't predict it. You're never going to get it right.
I'm never. Thommy's going to say that he hates it, but I think I might get a text from Thommy in a couple weeks saying I've come around on this. Okay?
Here we go.
Here we
I like
go.
This buildup.
There is nothing more overrated and dumb than people celebrating their birthday. I think the people who celebrate their birthday, like, I'm turning this age. I got to do this. If someone plans something for you, fine. If you had nothing to do with it, like, we did a brunch for my fiance and all her friends came, and I thought it was a cool thing for her.
Uh-huh.
Great. But the people that send out a group email and they go, hey, guys, my birthday's coming up. Figuring we're going to go meet at this place. Meet me here. Please stop immediately. If someone's not planning that, that should not be happening. I think birthdays are stupid. I that's not to say I would never have a party. Like, if you decided, Danny, you're going to plan my birthday party, that's a nice gesture. I'd be fine with that,
okay. Whatever.
In a million years, I would not invest a single second planning one thing for my birthday. I would like to get together and eat dinner with my family. If they could make that happen, great. If not, it's over.
So
we're
is
not
the,
doing anything.
Is your objection then that if you yourself, you're the birthday person, is the one doing the planning, that's your objection?
I find that annoying and stupid in general, yes. But my objection would be the idea that birthdays are big deals.
Wow.
Like, birthdays should be met with, happy birthday. Thank you very much. That's the end of the birthday celebration.
What? That is a stunning
again,
take from
I'm not
you.
Trying to be a jerk. Like, if my soon-to-be wife decided, oh, you're turning 30, we're going to do this cool thing for you, I would say,
would you discourage
nice
that?
No, not necessarily. If she said to me, hey, do you want to have a big party with all your friends? I would say, no, don't waste your time doing that. You know what I mean? Like, do not put yourself through that. If she just surprised me, would I have a blast that night? I'm sure I would. It would be a very nice thing. But the idea that you should invest any time on birthdays, no. Let's invest time in so many other things.
That may be the hottest thing you've ever taken.
Are you agreeing with me, though?
Could not disagree more.
Really?
It's one day where you just get people are nice to you.
This is going to shock you.
Oh, darn!
I actually agree with you on the part of planning your own party and setting it all up.
That's my firm mistake. That is the most entrenched
the
I am.
The self-planning thing is not a great look.
I hate when I get emails from people. I think it's a terrible look
when you do it yourself and you're like, I'm 30, let's go big.
Yes.
Dumb. But I think celebrating, what if you just don't have
the friend group that's willing to do it for you?
You don't get it.
Well, let's say you're single at that moment and there's no girlfriend to set it up for you.
Tough luck.
Yes.
You just don't get it?
Then you don't get it.
All right.
Just go out. If you're single, just go out. What does it matter?
This. Exactly, Dar. Dar's 100% right.
My Tinder date will set it up for me.
I'm single and I'm turning 30. I hit my boys up. I'm like, hey, guys, this weekend for my birthday, let's go to the bar.
Well, aren't you doing the thing that you don't like
not
there?
Not really, no, because it's very cat. It's, hey, we're going to go out to
the bar. It's that casual.
You guys want to get me a drink, whatever, fine. I'm not going to ask for that. I'm talking about, it's my birthday. I got a 7 o'clock reservation at this restaurant. Everyone come. Don't forget it's my birthday. I'm the birthday boy. That is so annoying to me. So annoying. Tommy.
I'm with you.
Yeah!
And there is a caveat, though, where I am guilty of, quote-unquote, throwing a party for myself maybe 3 or 4 years ago. But it was a situation like you did, where I said, I'm going to this place on this night. If you want to show up,
yeah,
what's
your take on that?
If you want to show up, great. If you don't, I'm going to have fun on my own.
Yes, I'm fine with that. Because, again, there is not, like, this email chain with activities and things.
Oh, yeah.
If you say, because you would have gone to the bar anyway, basically.
Me and my chick, we had the plan to go to this bar to see this band on that night.
Correct.
You guys can meet us. There's no cover. You know.
That basically is just like a night where he's inviting you to a bar.
Okay.
And it happens to be his birthday. Because people are probably hitting him up like, hey, you doing anything? Or whatever.
But for this year, I did absolutely nothing for my birthday.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up the phone. I didn't even talk to my mom.
Yeah, I want to.
That's
play
why
video
she
games
calls the radio show.
It's a lock. You talk to your mom.
No,
she had to call you.
I said it's my birthday. I don't want to talk to anyone. Leave me alone.
That's Thom right there.
Which
that's
I get. Unfortunately,
Thom.
But I think you should be able to do what
How
you
about
want
this
on your
guy?
Birthday.
We got to go because Ryan Kerrigan's next. A McGilla on Twitter says, "I work with a guy who's 37 and he takes off for a week for his birthday. Calls it birthday week. That's what I'm talking about. It's just too much.
Yeah, that's too much. It's my birthday month. Shh. No.
CK said, Danny hates Christmas, Grant hates birthdays, two fun-loving guys.
I just don't get why you hate birthdays.
That could be our promo, by the way. You hating Christmas and me hating birthdays.
The Junkies talk about dying in their latest promo, which is amazing, by the way.
Phil said, birthdays are stupid, almost as bad as gender reveal parties. Now, gender reveal parties, I'm 100% firmly with.
Because
I like fun and joy and things that matter. Getting older is just something that nobody did anything. You just happen to be older. A little bit fatter. A little bit uglier.
One day to celebrate you.
Yeah, we're okay.
Just friends getting together in honor of one person.
The
what a
March
terrible
to
thing.
100 is on.
God, it's offensive. You're right. We should
Grant
do away with it.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Ryan Kerrigan is next. The last one if you like his birthday. I'm Grant. You, Danny. This is The Fan. We are pleased to be joined on the hotline by Redskins Pro Bowler Ryan Kerrigan. Back-to-back years, three times. Going to the Pro Bowl. Congratulations, Ryan. Very cool to see that you earned the distinction, man.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's cool, dude. Do moments like this, like, does it help? You know what I mean? Like, is it validating or is it just, that's nice. I've got to go do some other stuff. I've got to get a haircut and go to the grocery store later. Like, where does it rank on the good feelings meter?
Well, luckily I got my hair cut on Monday, so Tuesday when I got the news, I didn't really have anything to do.
Nice. Very lucky.
But it definitely is nice to, you know, get that sense of validation. I mean, you put a lot of work into this and try to, you know, be the best I could possibly be at it. So, you know, when it's, you know, validated in any way, it feels pretty good.
I love when guys like yourself, Trent Williams, get honored. Brandon Scherff, consummate professionals, gutted through a tough season, kind of kept this thing afloat. Is it harder to play at a high level when things are a struggle around you, when you're trying to get back to 500 and when there are so many injuries? Or does it not really affect prep and performance on the field? I feel like it'd be harder to be a good player on a bad team than a good team.
No, I mean, you realize, and I know it sounds cliche, but you realize you still got to go out there and do your job, because no matter what, you know, there's still going to be people, you know, evaluating your tape at the end of the season. So you want to make sure whether you're, you know, 14-0 at this point, or you're, you know, 0-14, you want to make sure you're putting good stuff on tape and, you know, going into the off season with, you know, a good feeling about yourself.
Ryan, for you, as someone that's been around this game now for a while and been a consummate pro, you've seen some good, you've seen some bad, everything in between. You guys this year had some really good moments as a defense. Then you also had some moments, I'm sure, that you'd say, you know, weren't up to snuff or you know, the way you guys wanted it. What's the difference in your assessment from when it was really good to when it wasn't?
It's just finding that consistency. I mean, you watch us against the Raiders when we're dominating. We hold them to like 130 yards of offense, and then, you know, then you watch a few weeks later, we're playing the Vikings and we kind of, you know, couldn't stop anybody. And it's just like, that's kind of, you know, unfortunately been the tale of our season. We've had these really good moments, these really bad moments. We haven't been able to just, you know, string together a number of really good moments and give ourselves any kind of momentum going into the back half of the season.
Ryan Kerrigan on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. So the Pro Bowl was in Orlando last year. I think it's in Orlando again this year. You got to be honest with me. Is not getting to go to Hawaii, and for you, right before you get married and you got the wedding coming up this offseason, is that a dagger? Do you like that it's in the continental United States because it travels easier? You get to go check out Magic Kingdom, and you get to go on
Orlando
safari
Airport
ride with all the animals. What's the one with all the animals? What am I forgetting? The Disney one. What? Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Are you going to go do that? Like, what's your thought on Orlando?
I'm pretty excited for it because I unfortunately didn't get to go last year because I had my elbow scoped. But everyone who went said it was a really great time and said they really did a good job of making it a fun, you know, fun week for the guys. And, you know, I'm not too mad that it's in Orlando because I think, you know, my fiance and I are going to do honeymoon in Hawaii anyway. So I think, you know, now I get to check Florida off the list. I mean, Orlando off the list.
There you go. You would have had two trips to Hawaii in the span of like 6 weeks, and nobody wants that.
Yeah, worst things have happened to human beings.
That would have stunk.
Yeah,
how's
no,
wedding planning going, by the way? I'm elbow deep myself. I think you're getting married like a month after I am. Are you even able to help during the football season?
I try my damnedest, but I'm going to be honest. I've been a pretty bad help. I mean, she and you know, bless my fiance. Sorry, she's about as understanding as one can be, but she kind of told me, you know, once the season's over, I need you locked in. So, I'll give her my all at that point.
My good pal Grant Paulson, with all due respect, sir, I don't think he's mastered this, Ryan. There is a tightrope that one must walk when one is in the shoes that you guys are in. You must show interest but not have an opinion. You must not only agree, you've got to find a way to ask the right question that leads to the answer that she wants. So you don't know what napkin formation or which doily or which how much tool you want in between different things. You don't know who should sit next to who, and nor should you really care, to be honest with you. But if you make it seem like for 1 second like it's not the most critical detail in the history of the world, the fight that you'll get in is astounding, and you won't know how you got there. Have you figured that delicate balance yet?
I'm working on it, man. It's a process. It's like, and you are exactly right. It's finding that perfect balance of not really, you know, swaying her one way or another on something, but, you know, acting like, oh, okay, well, I think that's a good idea. And like, and so it's, you're right. You said it exactly right. It's the toughest balancing act.
It's not easy, but I think you're doing a good job, and you'll have more time to invest and to do even a better job
investing
when the season ends. Hey, we were just talking about birthdays. I shocked Danny because I said
he hates birthdays.
Hates birthdays is not correct. I'm being painted into a corner. I hate when people plan out like their own birthday parties and send all the big email about, hey, here's the things we're going to do for my birthday. I find that annoying. What's your general take on, as we get older, about to now hit our 30s, on people who make birthdays a huge deal and a huge celebration?
Yeah, I'm not a big birthday guy either. It's like, I mean, and you might be asking the wrong guy because my birthday is during training camp every year. It has been since I was in high school. So really since eighth grade, I haven't really, you know, celebrated a birthday in a big time way because I've been, you know, usually having two football practices in a day. So, but, you know, I know others like my fiance, for example, birthdays are like the biggest deal ever to her. So it's like I kind of have to, you know, put my, you know, make it a big deal and, you know, really go above and beyond with everything. But yeah, to me,
you're
personally,
doing balloons and banners. We're going all out.
Oh, it's everything. I mean, I'm at Party City for an hour during, you know, my fiance's birthday. So yeah, getting stuff.
Ryan Kerrigan is with us. Another Pro Bowl, well deserved for the Redskins defensive end / outside linebacker. Ryan, do you do that kind of recruiting stuff that I always hear about guys when they go to the Pro Bowl? Are you like sidling up next to guys like, you know, what would be fun on defense is if you were standing right in front of me when I was rushing the passer. Do you do that kind of stuff or you just go have fun and experience it?
I just go have fun and experience. I mean, those guys got a decision to make on their own. And I don't want to, you know, make it, you know, convoluted any more than it already is for them. I just want to go and get to know some of the guys and, you know, get to, you know, hang out with them in a setting that's not a NFL Sunday.
Ryan Kerrigan's Christmas movie of choice that puts him in the holiday mood correctly is what?
It used to be The Grinch, the, you know, the cartoon Grinch, and then throughout college it was Bad Santa. That was my movie of choice.
That is a good one.
Yeah, love me some Bad Santa, but and now it's Christmas Vacation. I mean, every time that's on, I'm gonna watch it and enjoy it like it's the first time I've ever seen it.
Have you seen Bad Santa when it's on network TV or when it's like on FX or something? They have to bleep all the words. Like, there's no dialogue in the movie.
Oh yeah, it's pretty. You got to watch it on like Comedy Central at like midnight or something because that's like the only time you can really get the full effect of Billy Bob Thornton.
Hey, I wanted to shout you out real quick. You did a really cool thing, your Blitz for the Better campaign at the Children's Hospital this week. Tell people what you were doing and if and how they can help as you move forward here trying to help the lives of young kids.
Yeah, we went to the Inova Children's Hospital in Fairfax and we had Build-A-Bear there. We had some coloring books, just different activities for the kids, and then we did some in-room visits where we, you know, passed out, whether it's a, you know, teddy bear or, you know, signed football, whatever they'd like, and just tried to bring them a little holiday cheer. It's you know, supposed to be the most joyous time of the year, and for a lot of kids, unfortunately, they're, you know, confined to a hospital. So just trying to bring a little cheer to kids like that.
That's awesome, man. It's great work. And I got to be honest with you, you and Sundberg going back and forth for this Man of the Year award, you're always in the running. Are you jealous at all that he got it this year? And have you sabotaged him anyway?
He should take like a crowbar to his knee, a Nancy Kerrigan style.
You know, I was plotting and scheming for a while, trying to think of, okay, how can I totally ruin this for Sundberg? But then I was like, you know what, what he's doing is great work. And, you know, I'm really happy for him. And hopefully he can, you know, hopefully people can keep spreading the word so you can get that 25K for loads of love.
Yeah, it is a tremendous deal. He's a great dude, too. You're awesome, buddy. Congratulations on the Pro Bowl and all the great work in the community, man. Appreciate the time today.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All Thanks, right, Ryan. Watch Christmas Vacation this weekend after the game. There's Ryan Kerrigan on Grant and Danny. Also, not really a birthday guy. I like that. I dig that about him. Beltway Blitz is next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.